If you'd like to support us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, what we might start off with is a few healing testimonies and testimonies of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I've seen over the years. Basically, when it comes to healing, a person doesn't really need to have a lot of faith. All we need to do is to have faith. We lay our hands on them, and we have to believe that the power of God operates through us. When we actually start to walk in that faith, that's all the faith that they need. So I'll probably stayed in 84 after I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. It was on a Tuesday. On the Saturday, I was out with another brother on the street telling people about Jesus. And I was on sickness benefits. I had a bad back. I had a twisted spine. I had Schutzmann's disease, a degeneration of the spine. And they said I'd be in a wheelchair eventually. So every couple of months I would be on my back for a long time, and I would have to recover, and then I'd get back into it again. But that was my whole life. I was through. Went through rehab. They couldn't do anything for me. They said there was basically no hope except to just manage the pain. So on a Saturday, as I said, I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost on Tuesday night, and on Saturday in the afternoon, we're walking around, we're talking to people. My back started hurting, and I was told that I could be healed. And so I just decided I'm just going to ask God for this healing. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I just command my back to be totally healed. I believed it. Now, I didn't have religion. I wasn't full of a whole lot of religious ideas to stop me from not believing. What if this? What if that? What if I'm not thinking this way? What if this? I don't have this attitude? What if this? If this idea or this doctrine's correct? I didn't have any of that rubbish stuck in my head. All I had was, once I was a hippie, I didn't believe in God. I didn't know anything about Jesus. And then a week ago, I was like that. Now I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know God. I know who Jesus is. And I'm walking in the Holy Ghost. I know the power of God in my life. So I just said, in the name of Jesus, I just command my back to be totally healed. And in a matter of seconds, this, I don't know what you'd call it, like power, it just came from the sky, I suppose, and it just came from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. It was like like electricity. It was like a warm, over the top tingling feeling, and my whole back, I felt every molecule on my back change. I felt everything totally restored, and I stood up straight. I had a curvature of the spine. I stood up straight, and I was totally healed in a matter of about 10 seconds, 7 seconds. It seemed like eternity, but it was only about 7 or 8 seconds, and I was completely healed. In 26 years, I've never had a bad back. That was amazing. And that happened to me. And one day I was driving along in my car, and I was just asking God, God, I want to know you more. And all of a sudden, this power came upon me. The presence of God was overwhelming. I pulled my car over, and there was no way that I could drive. I had to pull over and experience the presence of God. It was, on a maximum of 10, it was 9. It was massive. I really knew how powerful and how magnificent and how great God was. You know, before I had an experience, and only a couple of months later, 6 weeks later, I'm experiencing the full power of God. And after that, I knew how powerful God was. I mean, in my mind, I'm going, big God, big God. I was pretty well overwhelmed by that. A brother, he said to me, he said, if you want to know something from God, why don't you just ask him and he'll tell you. He'll even tell you in a dream. So I said, okay. So I said, you know, when you're a young Christian, you're open to every idea. And if you're around people who are men of God, they'll steer you in the right place. People who are religious will just steer you into religious bondage. But I was lucky that I was actually amongst people who were walking in power and walking in the demonstration of God. So I learnt well from the best. So what I did is I said, okay, look, Lord, I'd like to know about, you coming back. What's going to happen? And I asked him to show me in a dream. I went to bed that night and I had a dream that the Lord was coming back. And I knew exactly where I was. I knew we were driving along in a car. I knew exactly what side of the car I was. I was in the front on the left-hand side. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere totally changed. The atmosphere around us was totally, it went from normal to absolute holiness. And I knew in an instant that Jesus was returning. And it was an instant. It wasn't time to get right. There was no time to prepare. You're either right with God or you weren't. And I knew that God was giving me a spiritual vision of what was going to happen when he was going to return. Now, he hasn't returned yet, but I tell you, I woke up in bed and I said to my wife, I said, Jesus is coming back. She looked at me and she thought, oh, you're just having a bad dream. But I walked around for 2 days with the blessing of God all over me for 2 days. That was not just a dream. That was an experience God gave me. Now the Bible says, it says that your young men will dream dreams and see visions. It's biblically correct to dream dreams about God. There is a difference between dreaming dreams about God and God instigating those dreams and just having just a vague random dream. It is totally different. And so I was in a car once. I was sitting in a car park, and I'm waiting for Donna. She'd gone into one of the supermarkets to get some groceries, just a few things. So I'm sitting in the car, and I'm praying in tongues for about probably 10 minutes, and this car pulls up, about two cars beside me. So I wound the window up, and I was still praying in tongues. All of a sudden, the people that had pulled up beside me, a couple of cars beside me, a commotion started happening. People started gathering around the car. So I got out of the car to see what was happening. And the lady that was in the car with her husband was just about having a fit. And as soon as she saw me, she screamed out, "Get him away from me, get him away from me." And they looked at me. And they said, "You have to go. You're going to have to go, mate, because this lady is freaking out because of you." And later on, I went and sat in the car. It was just bizarre. I sat in the car and spoke to my friends. I'd encountered, because I was praying in tongues, I created an atmosphere around the car. And the atmosphere actually didn't go within the barrier of the car or the area of the car. Actually went out further. And that lady, she was filled with a devil. And because she came into the presence of God's presence, she wasn't able to control herself, and she flipped the lid big time. Now, because I'd learnt what had happened, now when I go into places and I see people go a bit crazy because I move into their atmosphere, into their building where they're standing, they will go a bit unstable. And it's not them. It's the enemy that's camped over their life, that's talking to them and telling them lies and telling them about how that they're hopeless and that they should just give up on life and that they should just end it, or that they're a loser, that their mum and dad never loved them, that nobody likes them, that all their friends talk behind their back, that everything they put their hand to just falls and fails, that they've just got bad luck following them around, that nobody likes them, that they'll never ever achieve anything, that sickness is their friend, They're doomed to have bad luck just follow them. Whenever sickness comes to their friends, they're going to get it as well. All of these things, they're not from God. They're from the enemy. See, Jesus said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Those things are not from God. Even the enemy will tell people that this sickness, that you're sitting in a wheelchair, because you're in a wheelchair, it's God. God has put you there so that you can be a smiley, happy person, and people will say, wow, you must have God in your life. That is a trick from the enemy. I remember I came up against a young lady. She was in a wheelchair, and I said to her, would you like Jesus to heal you? You know, Jesus doesn't want you in that wheelchair. He wants you to be set free. And she said, no, that's not true. She said, God put me here so that I can be, so that I can learn something. And I said, no, that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie to keep you in misery. She wouldn't let me pray for her. I remember another lady, I came up against her, and she was only about probably 20 years old. And she had an accident at birth. I think she had some airways were cut off a bit, and she suffered some mental problem. Her motor skills were no good, but her understanding seemed to be fairly good. She was in a wheelchair, and a friend was pushing her around. She's about, I don't know, about 20 or something, and her school friend was pushing her around, who was her carer for that day. And I went to pray for her, and as soon as I told her I spoke in tongues, she flipped her lid and said, don't touch me. Because the spirit inside her that had kept her bound like that, right, didn't want her set free. You'll find that a lot. You'll find that that people with emotional disease, emotional problems, that have a spiritual thing attached to it, won't let you pray for them. But people who have some sort of physical disease, like a broken leg, or they've got some sort of cancer or something, well, they'll let you pray for them because they've really got nothing to tell them to stop. Don't let him touch me. You get people who've got schizophrenia and they're hearing voices. And those voices, it's really interesting, but those voices, they never say, you're a good person. You're going to have good luck today. All your friends like you. You're the nicest person that ever lived. You're pretty, or you're handsome, or you know what, people like you because you're a nice person. Or, you're going to have good health, or you've got good luck following me. Now, those voices don't say that. They always say you're miserable, people hate you, he's saying things behind your back, you should end it all, you should kill yourself now and get it over with, people are after you. All of these voices are in it from a negative standpoint. Isn't that a bit strange when you think, well, isn't that funny? They're coming from the enemy. They're not coming from God. And so when I put my hands on people with schizophrenia, I pray for them and I command the voices to stop. Now, what happens is a lot of people will have, a chemical imbalance in their brain, and the enemy will get in and start causing trouble. It's a little bit like if you have a house, and if you've got a hole in your gutter, then the rain can get in. Or if you've got a hole in your gutter, then sparrows can get in and cause a lot of trouble, and they leave a whole lot of bird lice and feathers, and then rats get in there to get the sparrows. Then after that, then you've got foxes in there, whatever else you've got in there, cats running around in your roof, and you get a whole mess just because you had a hole in your roof. Really, the way it really works is if you get rid of the sparrows and the foxes or the cats and the rats, and then you plug the hole up, then everything works fine. And it works like that with schizophrenia. What we do is we get rid of the enemy that's causing them to operate in such a negative way. We command the enemy through Jesus Christ, through the blood, to leave. And they and the voices stop. Then we command the chemical imbalance in the brain to actually correct itself. And then they get a total healing. That's how that works. When it comes to someone who's got emphysema, I prayed for somebody who's got emphysema, and I prayed for a guy. He had spots on his lungs. They'd found spots on his lungs through doing a scan. So I just put my hand on his chest and commanded the spots to go away. I commanded the enemy that caused the spots to leave him, and the spots go. Another brother, he only just came along to the Lord, and he had emphysema, he could hardly breathe. Put my hand on his chest, and I commanded the spirit of infirmity to leave him, and I commanded his chest to expand, or his lungs to expand, to the proper and maximum ability. And I prayed over him for probably a couple of minutes. I saw him about a month later, and he said, "I can breathe completely and deep and clear." His emphysema had gone. So I had another sister. Her husband had left her. He'd fallen away and went back to the world and left her. And she was pretty upset about this, and she carried it for years. So we said, "That's not right." So we put a hand on her shoulder and we just prayed over her, commanded that sadness to leave her, and it left her straight away. And a smile came over her face, and her face lit up, and she hasn't stopped smiling since. She actually had a twisted spine as well, and one leg was shorter than the other by about half an inch. So we prayed over her and commanded her spine to completely straighten up and for the leg to completely come back to normal. And she stood up, and she was able to walk for the first time in years without a limp. That's power. That's the power of Jesus Christ, of his blood, through the Holy Spirit. We use the authority, and the Holy Spirit goes to work. So that's some of the testimonies. We had had a lady who had a tumor on her head for 16 years, and I prayed for her. And a couple of months, actually, she'd went down the front in her church. She went down to the front to have prayer for 16 years. She had her pastor and all the elders of the church pray for her every 2 weeks or so for 16 years. So I prayed for her a couple of times, and I just left that, and I rang her up 2 months later, and her tumor had shriveled up. Had another lady come to my house one day. Actually, the guy next door, he brought her. He came and he said to me, "Look, Tom, we've got a problem." I said, "Well, what have we got here?" And he said, "We've got a young lady, she's 28 years old, she's not a Christian, she had a melanoma cut out on her shoulder, and they didn't get it all, and they think maybe it spread to her liver, and she's got a tumor on her liver. She's 3 months pregnant, she's 28 years old, and the doctors can't do anything." I said, "That's okay, bring her around and God will heal her." So she came around, we put her hands on her shoulder, Donna and I, and she got a blessing from God right there and then, and she went to the doctors the next day. It was on a Monday, and on a Tuesday went to the doctors, and went through a whole barrage of tests during the week, and on Saturday I got word that she was totally cancer free. That's the power of God. You know, I've seen a lot of people with lots of mental diseases. You put your hand on them and pray for them, and if you believe, then things will happen. I had a guy who was walking down the street, and I just stopped him, and I was talking to him, and I found out that he had arthritis and he was on a pension, and I prayed for him, and right there and then he goes, "Whoa, what happened to me?" He sort of stepped back a couple of steps and he said, "What was that?" So that was the power of God. And he was able to touch his toes right there and then. He was free from arthritis. He was amazed. And he said, "Well, I've got two vertebrae that have been crushed from an accident." And I said, "Well, you should have told me that right there and then." So I had some more prayer for him, and he felt something happen in his back. I said, "Well, you should go to the doctor and have a look and see if you've been healed." A lot of the time, you know, if a person's got a broken leg and it's hanging out everywhere, and we put a hand on them and say, "In the name of Jesus, we command that leg to be totally made whole," and that leg's still swinging all over the place, they're not healed. Even though you might try to walk in faith and say, "No, my leg's healed," if it's still swinging all over the place and still broken, it's not healed. It's healed when it actually gets healed. So we tell people, sometimes you can't see a healing. Person with a broken leg, you can see it if it's healed. Sometimes it takes a day or two. Sometimes people will go, we tell them to stay in faith. We tell them to just keep in faith until the Lord gives them the healing. So we'll pray for them, and the next day they may get healed. They'll wake up the next morning and their leg's healed. I had a lady, she had palpitations of the heart, and I prayed for her. By the time she got to her car, she was totally healed. Sometimes we won't see healing right there and then, but we'll see it within an hour or 2 hours or the next day. Sometimes you might have to lay hands on them 2, 3, 4 times, and then they'll get the total healing. Sometimes they'll get healed in stages. Sometimes we'll pray for them, and one symptom will go, and then we'll pray for them, another symptom will go, and then we'll pray for them, and another symptom will go, and pray for them again, and then they're totally healed. So that's how we work, is we release the power of God into them, and the power of God does its work. The Holy Ghost does the work. So and the way the Holy Ghost wants to restore people to their fullest. He doesn't want them to have half healings. I know a lady, she had a pancreas removed. She had she was taking insulin, and she was prayed for, and her pancreas grown back. Now that's impossible. That happened about 25 years ago, and she was totally, she didn't have to have any insulin anymore. I've prayed for people who have had diabetes, and I've seen them healed. I just command their pancreas to operate properly. And I tell them when they start taking the insulin to be very careful, because if your pancreas starts operating properly, and you take insulin, it can cause problems. And I tell people not to go off their medication, but to be careful with their medication. Tell them to continue to take the medication, but with great care, and monitor the result, and for them to go to the doctor and get tests done to see if they've been healed. Because I don't believe in pseudo healings. I don't believe in mind over matter. I like to see healings. I like to see healings done and verified by the medical profession. Because I like to see their face. But I've seen that many healings. When it comes to people receiving the Holy Spirit, I've prayed for people in supermarkets, in department stores, in alleys, in toilet blocks, and I've seen them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. So you don't have to be in a holy place. I've seen people receive the Holy Spirit within a matter of a couple of minutes of knowing me, within 5 minutes of knowing me. So you don't need to go through some sort of Bible lesson to receive the Holy Spirit, or to go through and get all the questions right, or to go through some sort of religious ceremony. All it takes is a person who is honest and humble and willing of heart to accept and receive what God has to give them. That's all it takes. It doesn't take much. You know, the gospel has been going, the New Testament has been in operation for 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, people were not educated. They didn't have great institutions. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't have all of the information that we've gleaned from all of our Bibles. They had no churches. They just went from town to town, and they said, "You know, the kingdom of God is here, and Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and the kingdom of God is here to restore your life back. Here, would you like to have a dose? and they put their hand on them, pray for them, crippled people would be no more crippled, people who were sick would be no more sick, and they would say, your God is real. And then they would get baptized, and they would get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they would be filled with power. And then they would go about telling people that the kingdom of God is real, and that it is going to manifest in their midst. And they would lay their hands on sick people, and they would see them healed. And then they would get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then religion decided to get involved and build great big cathedrals to the monument of nothing, where people would gather and sit and pray and never receive anything, and never see anything, never experience anything. And then religion would be institutionalized, and all we would have would be thousands and thousands of people going along to these institutions, receiving nothing, feeling nothing, and experiencing nothing, and believing that's all there is to Christianity. Well, I beg to differ, because when I walk around, when I walk into a place, I speak, and the Word of God has authority. When I put my hand on somebody, I believe that the power of God is going to go through me into them, and they're going to have an experience. Why? Because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, because I have God's authority, because I'm a Bible-believing Christian, not a religious-believing Christian. There are two differences. You know, religion is Christianity without power. That's all it is. People, there's 50 different churches, or actually hundreds of different churches, and hundreds of different ideas of what God is about. But if you go back to the Bible and you do it the Bible way, you'll always get a result. You'll always get an experience. You'll see the power of God in operation. Because God is not a liar, and he has promises. And those promises are in the Bible to anybody who believes. And that word believe means to trust in, adhere to, and rely upon. So if you trust in, adhere to, and rely upon Jesus Christ and what he said in his word, then God will back it up. He'll back it up in spades. He'll back it up with power, absolute power. See, God wants to restore the sick. He wants to make those who are brokenhearted healed. He wants to restore people who are lost into the kingdom of God so that he can be a father to them, and that he can show them his love and show that they can be washed in his son's blood. He paid a massive price. He gave his only son. He only had one son, and he gave his best. He gave absolutely everything he had so that he could restore you into his family again. Instead, religion gets involved and nothing happens. And people die in their sins. People die because they're not really connected. They're not really connected back to God. And they don't know that, because what they've done is they've handed the security of their salvation over to a religious man or institution, rather than going back to the Bible and saying, what does the Bible say about this? Because the Bible says, count every man a liar, but God's word true. Because there are people who sincerely believe that they're following God, but until you actually open the Bible up and show them scriptures, then really the matter is not really settled. Angels. Okay. Angels are good. I was driving along in a car one night with Donna. We had two children, and we had another couple with their kids in the car. We were loaded up. And we just come from a little church meeting on a Friday night, and we're out in the country. And it's about 9:30 at night, and this car comes screaming down the highway. And he was going all over the road. He was snaking all over the road in a maximum way. And he came in such a way that he was about to T-bone us. And I was on the left side of the car, and in the back seat, and Donna was on the right in the back seat. And he was just, his whole car headlights were just about to drive through Donna's door. It was nearly an absolute T-bone. It was as soon as his headlights went to go through the door, We just, it happened in a matter of about probably 10 seconds, I suppose. I don't know. We were just watching this car whizzing up and down, just going from one side of the road to the other. And when he went to hit us, as soon as the lights went to come, they filled the cabin of the car up. As soon as they went to hit the door, this car bounced off of us, and he spun around and did three 360 degree turns. As soon as he, it was as if he was a millimeter from the paintwork of our car, and something pushed him off at a high velocity, and he bounced, and his car did three 360s. We just kept driving and looked, and we just were absolutely flabbergasted. We could not get our heads around it because it defied the laws of physics. It was impossible, but because we've seen healings and miracles, even though we've seen healings and miracles, we still are still a bit gobsmacked when God really operates in a big time. Later on, I asked the Lord about that, and he told me that he used angels to push that car off. That was an amazing thing. You know, the Bible says that God's angels encamp around the righteous. They look after us. They protect us. You know, God has a plan for us as we walk in his ways. And he wants to get us from A to Z as best as he can. And he will move everything to get us on that plan and on that road so that we can continue and fulfill our purpose that he has already ordained for us. He'll use angels. He'll use brothers and sisters. He'll use anything at his disposal that he can to get us from A to Z. But angels are a mighty work in our lives. We can use angels. We don't command angels ourselves, but the Father commands angels. And we ask the Father to send and work angels over situations, and we see them happen. But those are a few of the testimonies I've seen. I've seen many, many more people healed. I've seen people's ears open up. Who wore hearing aids. I put my hand on their ears, prayed for them, and they only had like 6% hearing, and then they had 100% hearing. These are people who are 70, 80, 75 years old, I think the guy was, and people were ringing in their ears. It's called tinnitus. I put my hand over their ears and command the tinnitus, the ringing, to stop, and it instantly stops, and they no longer have ringing in their ears. I've had my daughter, she had super glue accidentally put in both eyes, and they were totally stuck together. This is in about 1986, when super glue was a little bit stronger, and we prayed over that, and she, in a matter of a couple of minutes, she opened her eyes up. Actually, 7 minutes we prayed for, and her eyes just totally opened up. We took her up to the hospital, and they looked at her and said there was nothing wrong with her. They couldn't understand why we'd brought her up there. But she was totally delivered from having super glue put in her eyes. Donna's feet, she twisted one of her foot, didn't break it, twisted it, and it swelled up massively. And she'd danced for many years when she was at school, did ballet, and she knew what it was like to have a bruised foot. And her foot swelled up, and she prayed over it and watched it instantly go down. We had our little boy have his finger caught, two of his fingers caught in the door jamb in where the hinges are, and the other child pushed the door shut and squashed his fingers, and they were just about ready to fall off. We prayed for them, and in a matter of a couple of minutes, they were totally restored. You wouldn't have known that there was anything wrong with the fingers. We had the same thing happen to our daughter. She had her fingers caught in a bike chain, and they were totally mangled. We prayed for them, and they were instantly healed. And I can go on and on and on. I've seen so many healings. It's just it'd take me hours to tell you about all of the healings of provision. I've seen people's lives totally change because of the power of God. I could go on for hours about the healings that I've seen, but this is just a short testimony of all the things that I've seen.
So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support.